All right, Parshas Vayigash, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Aser B'Teves tonight. And tonight's shir should be the Schus Refuah Shleima. I have an error on the top. It should say Yehuda ben Rivka Leia for Rabbi Kelomer. Should have continued Refuah Shleima. And it should be Bakar Mamish. And Lulei Nishmas Frimit Bas Aryeh Leib, Aleha Shalom. It's a lady who passed away this week, battled cancer for many years, and she was one of the strongest people I know. Had, a diagnosis, mamish like a nes nigla in the world, had a diagnosis, a certain type of brain cancer, like 12 months to live 8 years ago, and she lived for 8 years, and, was able to enjoy many of those years, and then Baruch Hashem, you know, she was zochah to that. But unfortunately, she was passed away this week. Her neshama should have a big aliyah. She was one of my very close friends' bubbies, and like a bubby to me, and, she should have an aliyah and be a meditz yosha for her family. So tonight, Parshas Vayigash. So throughout Bereishis, we've kind of had this, back and forth of like trying to figure out what mitzvah to choose from each parsha. But it's kind of difficult because there's not many mitzvahs in Bereishis. So some weeks we find connections, some weeks we find direct mitzvahs discussed in the Chinuch. Tonight I was thinking maybe if there's certain parshios that don't have mitzvahs, we can also use them as opportunities to maybe talk about some more fundamental concepts when it comes to mitzvahs rather than a particular mitzvah itself and jumping into details and everything about that one mitzvah and understanding it and then some hashkafa and machshava at the end on the parsha. But maybe we could actually just go to the basics, go to the elementary 101 of mitzvahs and welcome and try to understand why do we have mitzvahs? Why do we have mitzvahs altogether? And I was able to find the chinuch on this, so it was a good place to start so we can continue with the chinuch. But to try to understand, we're going through each week, try to understand a different mitzvah. But the question is tonight, it's not so much mitzvahs as it is, why do we have a whole halachic system and mitzvahs commandments in place that we are obligated to follow? And at first glance, it's like, of course we have to have some structure and some system. But, if we think about it, and the reason, I thought the topic was fascinating, it doesn't really connect to Vayigash in a direct way at all, that I was able to think of at least. But I remember when I was in Smicha and YU, so Rabbi Bednarsh discussed this topic. He gave Machshava Shirim every week. And he told a story about, a professor of law to Christians who were studying the Bible, who were experts in the Bible, knew the Old Testament cold. And this professor asked him, it was a Jewish professor, he asked him, what's the first commandment in the Bible? And they started answering, it's in Bo, with the moon, blessing the moon. No, before that, first commandment, think of the language in the verses, in the chapters. So some sort of started saying, a peruvu. You should be fruitful. Oh, excellent. That's the right answer. It's to be fruitful and multiply. And then he said, so what does that mean exactly? So what do you have to do? So what do you mean, what do you have to do? What does it mean to be fruitful and multiply? Like, God said to do that in the Bible, and now what? So he said to do that, and how does that work? And they looked at him like he was meshuggah. Like, I don't know, but it says to do it. But then, like, a Jew looks at this, and it has so many ramifications, so many details, so many aspects. How do you fulfill the mitzvah? One son, one daughter, two sons. What happens if a child dies, God forbid? What happens if you adopt a child? And there's just the whole world opens up. To them, you study it academically, and you're teaching these very educated Bible experts, and to them, they don't have a concept of really why there's a need and what the purpose is of the mitzvahs. So we're not going to speak about tonight, really, why do we have to keep mitzvahs? That's not the question, although that's a very important question. But the question tonight we're going to address is, why do we need a system of mitzvahs? Why do we need a system, and it's not going to be limited to mitzvahs. Why do we need a system of commandments, of halachos and mitzvahs? And maybe a different week we'll be able to discuss, like, kind of the overlap and what a mitzvah is versus a halacha, what taryag mitzvahs mean, what happens when you do a mitzvah as opposed to following a halacha. And that's, I didn't really prepare much or look into that, and even though it's a very interesting concept, but that's not really going to be tonight's discussion. But the question is, why do we have mitzvahs? So I'll open up the floor to start before we really delve into it. And if you need the question fine-tuned, or we could also do that.
Are we talking about mitzvahs or halacha?
So both. Why do we have a system of laws? Call it that.
Why do I need Peruvu? Or why do I have to have so many details within Peruvu?
Why do you have to have laws overall? Altogether. Let Judaism be, God said, there's a Bible and there's a God, I believe in God, and I'll serve God.
I'll do what I want to do. Why don't we have a perfect world?
Someone's asking, why don't we have a perfect world? Well, if you're assuming that the purpose of mitzvos is to perfect the world,
meaning that there's something lacking, and that has to be made up without doing what's right to fill that void, right?
So is keeping halacha do that?
Obviously, yeah.
So everything we do, But why does it have to be a unified system, and it can't be that Aaron Parnes decides to do what he wants to do to serve God? That's an appropriate way, and Chaim Bash decides to do what he wants to do to serve God.
Just be a good person, like just
kind of like what the Reform movement. You know, not all Jews are wonderful, but what their approach is to religion.
Hitler decided that it's a good thing to rid the world of the Jews. Is that good?
No, so that's a question of morals and ethics. There's an overlap. There's for sure kind of overlap between morals and ethics and what one feels is right. That's assuming, though, that everything that's a mitzvah and halacha is a moral or ethic. That's not really the question. The question is, why is there a system of laws altogether?
Is this a philosophical question? Philosophical question?
It's a pretty deep philosophical question.
What's the purpose of the world, really?
Not really. That's a much bigger question. I'm not here to talk about what the purpose of the world is, although this might connect to it.
I would say because we want to be able to differentiate and separate ourselves from the government.
To separate ourselves from the going.
Yes.
To make us an Ama Nivcher. So somebody suggested, Brian said, maybe to make us separate from the Goyim, to make us feel...
And you can have a guy who's a very good person. Mm-hmm. But we have these mitzvahs, which go above and beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's to kind of make Klal Yisrael as a klal separate from the Goyim. Beautiful. We're going to get to something very along those lines.
Can I jump in? I'm not sure separation from the Goyim is itself a value. I think we have values that go well beyond separation from the Goyim.
What do you mean?
I mean, just being different from people we don't agree with is negative. It's not positive. Uh-huh.
We're spoken. You know, the Jews are always talked about being different. That's why we're usually disliked. Has a negative connotation. It's not necessarily a positive thing to say that. That's why we have to be differentiated and therefore have to have a system of how to behave and act in the world.
Right, that's my point. There are positive things that we're asked to do that are not because we want to be different from somebody else.
Right, right. Very interesting. Okay, but we'll touch on. I think Brian's getting to something. We'll reshape it a little bit. Any other ideas, Jeff? We're trying to understand why is there a system of halacha and mitzvahs? Why do we have a system of law? It's very technical. If you're a lawyer and you go ahead and you read the intricate language and the details and you draft contracts and every word is meaningful, great. If I'm a tax guy and I have to figure out what the code is really saying and how the regulations explain the code, okay. But like, come on. Okay, there's a Bible. And now, what do I need a whole system of mitzvahs and halacha? Why is it created? What's the purpose of the structure of law?
The alternative could have been that God just said, be a good person. That's what we're saying?
Yeah, that there was no uniform system.
We have this, but it could have been X.
It could have been not having it, which means God created the world and...
No Torah or no...
No, there's a Torah, but there's no... Like the Christian story that people... One of the first commandments is Peruvu. It exists. What do I do? I want to do it, I'll do it. I don't want it. Whatever, it exists.
That's what I mean. They have laws, they don't have details.
Right. What is their purpose of a system of laws? Is the real question. Why do you have the laws? Details are separate. Why do we need anything?
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting answer. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakas Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give merits to Klal Yisrael, and so by doing what he asked us to do, we go ahead and get merits. Okay, so let's look into the Chinuch. The Chinuch is in the first source, although that really, a lot tonight's going to be from Rav Soloveitchik and his, it's a, I don't want to say famous, an article or a piece that was written called The Common Sense Rebellion on Korach, where these ideas are really discussed by him. But we'll see some Rishonim as well that I was able to kind of pull together from different places using one Gemara as our focal point. But we'll start with the Chinuch. The Chinuch on the first page. So the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tezayin, which is actually the next parsha that has mitzvahs, Parshas Bo. So, and there's a lot of mitzvahs there, so we're not going to probably talk about this mitzvah specifically on that parsha. The mitzvah shelo lishbor etzim in haPesach, that you can't break a bone of the korban Pesach. So says the Chinuch, kind of in the middle of the Shorish haMitzvah there, Ve'ata b'ni. And now my son. Im bina shema zos. Im bina shema zos. Ve'hateos nechal shema. Alandach lehoa b'taru mitzvos. So he says, you know, don't go ahead and, if, you know, listen and go ahead and understand what the purpose is of Torah mitzvos. Da, ki ha'adam nifa kefi pu'losav. So he says, a person is, you know, shaped and formed by their actions. V'libo v'chol machshevosav tamid achar masav she'osik bahem im tov v'imra. And he's drawn after his actions, you know, whether or not they're for good or for bad. This is a famous yesod the Chinuch has, achar ha'pu'ulos nimshach en halavavos. That a person, and really, Michael, getting to like the deeper question is like, if the goal is to become like a spiritual being, and the goal is to just like be connect to God, then why do I have to have one system of laws and how to do that, instead of me deciding, this is what I'm going to do to connect to God. This is how I connect to God. I enjoy connecting to God this way. God connects to me this way. I feel it. I know it. So this is how I'm going to serve Him. And not and morals and ethics, that's a whole separate thing. But this is what I want to do, and this is what I believe is right. So the Chinuch has this idea that achar ha'pu'ulos nimshach en halavavos, and that by having defined actions, by having certain things that you're going to do, that will then evoke the positive and good emotions that the mitzvos are supposed to and will go ahead and do. And you think you'll go ahead and serve God in this way, and it will be, you know, a good thing. But no, the mitzvos are there. Do the mitzvos, and that's what's going to ultimately lead to that emotional connection and state of God. Really a chilek between observing mitzvos and religion, and a feeling of like a close connection to God. So that's what the Chinuch goes ahead. He talks about if a bad person, you know, if a good person does bad actions, or a bad person does good actions, he goes on to say that the actions ultimately will lead a person to go ahead and behave in a certain way, which will then evoke and create the emotional type of frame of mind and concept and construct of a person as they exist in the world. So that was just the connection I found from the Chinuch to it, kind of discussing this topic in a very global sense. But if we look on the next page, in source number 2, so we'll see that the Torah in Parshas Korach goes ahead and, we know, tells us Korach has a rebellion, and he goes ahead and Rashi tells us that he went to Moshe, Rashi quotes from a Medrash, that they wore talisos shetkulan tcheles, they wore these completely blue tcheles taluses. Bov amdil fnei Moshe, they went before Moshe. Amrulo, and they said to him, talis shekula tcheles chayeves betzitzis o ptura. A talis which has only is full of tcheles, is it chayev in tzitzis? Meaning, does it have to have the strings that have tchilis on it also? Or is it putter? Because the whole purpose of tzitzis, or talis, is to go ahead and to look at the blue, so that the blue reminds you of the yam, and the yam reminds you of the shemaim, the kisya kavo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if it's all blue, what do I need the strings for? I have the blue there to remind me. A very rational, logical, common sense kind of argument. Amalehem chayaves, Moshe responded, it's chayv in tzitzis. So Korach and his followers started laughing at Moshe. You're going to tell me that a talis, which isn't made of tchilis, it's made of white, they're a different kind of thing, has one string of blue, it has one tchilis on it, and it patters the whole thing from any other need, it's good. So he says this, which is entirely blue, isn't going to patter it. Right? And he had the same argument, sure many of us know, that with a house that's filled with svarim, zechayv and mezuzos. Why do you need the shmir? You already have all the svarim there. What's Korach really getting at? So Rav Soloveitchik has it's like a 7 or 8 page essay or so in Vision and Leadership that discusses this. And he coined this term of the common sense rebellion. That Korach started a rebellion against Moshe and saying, trying to make fun of and dispute Moshe's authority by undermining it and saying, The Torah doesn't make sense. I'm gonna prove it to you. And his arguments are very good. His arguments are accurate. They might not be true, but they make sense. Something that makes sense doesn't mean that it's a fact or a truth in life. His arguments are saying to Moshe that it's illogical to respond and say, no, it doesn't work, but one string is going to make it work. That to us, it doesn't make sense. If we were gonna create a certain system of laws, of course, That doesn't work. So this is where Soloveitchik, he went ahead and really discussed this concept, that Korah, this idea of like trying to serve God in your own way without having a system of Torah and mitzvos, isn't a halacha and mitzvos, isn't a new concept. It's been around from the beginning of the time the Torah was given, from Korah. The question's been there. And he discusses this in his essay at length. I didn't quote the whole essay here. I'm not even sure if I couldn't find the book inside, but I found this on Scribd and downloaded a copy of the essay. So I think it's close to accurate for what the words say in the book.
The actual audio is available online.
It's on Y'Torah, right? I saw it. I didn't have the time to listen to it. It was pretty cool. It was like an hour and longer. But
It's really good.
Yeah, so okay. So the audio is available on Y'Torah of this essay by Rav Soloveitchik.
It's in English,
Yeah. So if we look at source number 4, and here we're going to start touching upon what Brian mentioned, Rav Soloveitchik, he writes as follows. Why does the halacha refuse to give primacy to the emotions, to the inner feelings? Why does it not consider dveikus meaning religious fervor, excitement, emotional attachment, a more genuine and authentic experience than the outward act of performing a mitzvah? The Torah goes ahead and tells us what to do, but okay, how you feel about it doesn't really matter so much. It's because there are three serious shortcomings in making the religious act dependent on human emotion and sentiment. So I guess, Michael, this is helping us like sharpen the question a little bit, right? It's asking, why do we need commandments and laws as opposed to just having an emotional connection to God without that? That's what this is at least addressing, and I think that's what what we're trying to get to tonight. So the first answer is a little difficult, at least for me to understand. I understand the words, but I don't understand the concept. So he says, Rav Soloveitchik says, first, the religious emotion is volatile, ever-changing and unstable, even within one individual. To correlate the outward act to the inner emotion would require regular adjustments. The mitzvah would continually have to be modified and at times nullified in favor of new symbolic acts that would correspond to the person's emotional state. The format and identity of the mitzvah would be destroyed and no continuity of identifiable performance would be possible. So his first answer is suggesting that the emotions of a person, especially religious emotions, whatever that means, the emotional religious connections a person has to God, they're always changing. And if we just left it up to that, then the act that one would feel they need to do would be constantly changing as well. And so that's not going to work because it's then going to just be haphazard and everyone's going to do everything. So this is probably out of the three answers he suggests, the one I understand the least. But that's his first suggestion. The second answer, which is really what Brian was saying, I think, is the following. Second, each person feels and experiences differently. Rituals would continually have to be reformulated to correspond to the feelings of different individuals at different times. What was inspiring to one person might not affect another at all. So if it wasn't about, mitzvos and it was about rituals, it was about, just doing what you wanted to do kind of thing, and everybody could choose to do it if they wanted to, it would work for some people and others it wouldn't. No community, kehillah, service of Hashem would be possible. There wouldn't be uniformity. Since group worship presupposes a unifying constancy, what would be appropriate today would be obsolete tomorrow. What is appreciated in one community may be unintelligible in another. This kind of ever-changing worship, which responds to varying sensations, is basically avodah zarah. That this was a major point of contention and argument. Moshe and Korach is indicated in Tanchuma, quotes the Tanchuma about it. Basically says communal worship should be constant and not buffeted by the winds of fashion and subject to varying moods of diverse individuals. Moshe contended that Korach's emphasis on the primacy of the emotions would destroy the religious identity of the people and result in fragmented sects. The fact that Jews of all times and from different parts of the world are able to worship together, even allowing for minor variations of liturgical custom, is directly due to the constancy of form, which is controlled by the halacha. So in the second answer, Brian, very similar to what you said, not to necessarily differentiate us from the non-Jews in a negative way, but to unify us, totally putting aside the non-Jews, as a nation in a positive way, is what the system of halacha and mitzvot do. The fact that you and I can travel to two different places around the world and we walk into a shul, we know exactly what tefillin is, they know what tefillin is, we know what a talis is. It's kind of looking at halacha and mitzvot. Not necessarily, although I have a chiyuv on it as an individual, obviously, and each of us have our own personal obligation in them. It's looking at it as a very collective kind of obligation amongst Klal Yisrael, that there's a uniformity HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, so that the Jewish nation can all be connected in the way that they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Korach's second answer. I mean, or Soloveitchik's second answer to the idea of having a system in place that's objective. And it's very interesting, and it makes sense, because the opposite, right, like nowadays, in our postmodern era, there's no right and wrong. Everything's right, right? It's okay. Like, there's no fact, there's no truth and false. It's okay. That's good, and this is good, and that works, and this works. And the way it's explained, right, a lot of times is there's different variations. You do what you do, I do what I do, and we're both right. Great, shkoyach, I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone. I mean, we might have that perspective of I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone, but that's not the Torah's perspective on how we observe halacha and mitzvahs. There's one right way, and there's one wrong way. It's not like flavors of ice cream that I like vanilla, and you like strawberry, and you like chocolate, and they're all good flavors. We just have different interests. That's not how we work. We work as one uniform system of halacha, although kind of what the Reform movement, you know, tried to do is like, and it's interesting, I actually spoke to someone who I'm very close to, who's not religious, and he's a very knowledgeable person. He knows about Shabbos, and he knows about, you know, all halachos, he knows a lot about it. He grew up pretty knows what everything is. And he said to me, he kind of mentioned it his own, he's like, you know that I know when on Shabbos, when I go buy something in a store, I'm violating the Sabbath. I know that. I'm like, oh, very interesting. Once he brought it up, I'm like, so why do you do it? And just in a very, you know, a simple way. I just asked him. And what was his answer? What's the classic answer to that? Well, overall, I think I'm a very good person, and I hope that God will forgive me because that's not a big deal. It's something small. It's not that important. I give a lot of charity. I'm a righteous guy. I help people out. I go. I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I just hope when the scales are weighed at the end of the day, I'm going to be okay. So he has his perspective of like it's not okay, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's the details, the mitzvahs, the halachos, the system isn't that important, but clearly it is. The Rav, as he is, you know, explaining from Moshe's response, the way that Moshe, you know, taught is that it's the key way of defining Klal Yisrael as having this system in place. And the third, probably most, I think the best answer that sits with me is the following. We have no reliable gauge to differentiate secular types of response from the genuinely religious experience. There are many non-religious reactions which claim transcendental qualities of holiness. To love impulse, the aesthetic quest of the artist, and nowadays the indulgence in potent mind-transforming drugs can easily be confused with religious experience, but in fact are inherently secular and do not reach out beyond the stimulated sense to God. They never transcend men's infinite... Sorry, one second, I'm just trying to get to the right page on Zoom also. Okay. They never transcend man's finite limitations. Pagans in ancient times abandoned themselves to hypnotic trances and orgiastic ceremonies and mistakenly identified them as religious experiences. The self was never transcended. Man starts with himself and does not communicate beyond himself. The Torah therefore emphasizes the mitzvah, which reflects God's will and it has the stamp of immutability and universality. The great religious romance of man with God, the emotional transport follows one's observance of the mitzvah, not the reverse. So kind of like what Aaron was saying before a little bit, is that Hashem's ratzon, is the reason we do mitzvos, but more than that, it's deeper than that. The confusing part can become, I like going to a Karlbach Minyan Friday night because I enjoy it. It's pleasurable. I stand there with my eyes closed and I clap and I get a spiritual high from it. And that's a great thing for me. And the argument against me will be like, are you really frum? Are you really religious? I go to the bar Friday night and I enjoy that. So you're serving yourself by going to a Karl Bachmanian Friday night and I'm serving myself by going to the bar Friday night. Why are you any better than me and why are you doing anything more authentic in a religious and a connection with God than me? You're not. You're doing what you want to do. That's what can really start becoming when you if you get your emotions too involved in mitzvahs and start becoming so spiritually connected to serving God as opposed to having uniformity of laws and a system of halacha in place that God created and I'm doing it because God wants me to do it, not because I want to do it, then, you know, you start crossing that line a little bit. It becomes like narcissistical. It becomes a little self-serving in a certain way. And that's a real challenge, you know, Bisman Azeh, I think. It's a very, you know, if you think about it, how much of our Avodas Hashem would I do if there wasn't a Torah and Mitzvos? So if the answer is like 99%, then I'm doing it like Lishma in a certain way. I mean, hopefully my Ratzon is because it's also Hashem's Ratzon, but if I'm saying, if there was no Torah and Mitzvos, then I would just do it anyway because I like doing it, or I enjoy doing it. It's a good thing. I like waking up at 6:30 in the morning to go to shul. It's a great thing to do. Maybe it is. Maybe people do enjoy talking to God and meditating, and they do it because it's self-fulfilling. It's not because it's a tzivah Hashem. So that's the last answer that Rav Soloveitchik suggests, is that the system of laws and halachos and mitzvos is objective actions that one does, as opposed to focusing on the spiritual, let me do what I want to do thing, is all about serving God, as opposed to falling into a trap of serving oneself. He concludes at the end and kind of quotes the Sefer HaChinuch that we started with. He says, Moshe was unquestionably right. If one fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis, recognizing its religious meaning, then a glance at one blue thread will produce an awareness to God. To this day, the Talis, even without the blue thread, interesting, right? There we have a little opinion on Tchelis, is religiously inspiring to the worshiping Jew. Such is the power of the mitzvah, proceeding from action to feeling. Similar, now, but fleshing it out more, of what the Chinuch said of Achar Pulos Nimshach Nalavavos. Yeah, there's a connection. They're intertwined, the action and the emotional state that's supposed to be accomplished, but it's that the action leads to the feeling, not that the feeling is going to go ahead and lead to the action. I feel this way, so I'm going to do this. No. I'm going to do this, and it's going to result in me feeling a certain way and a connection to God because I did it with the right intention at the right purpose. So that's three answers from Rav Soloveitchik. And I really thought this last answer was very appropriate, and a really sayun for at least me, and I think, you know, just in today's generation, of just our avodas Hashem being that of serving for Hashem for what He wants, not for what I want.
The Pasuk in Devarim says that he calls it a shoka, right? That Hashem is Asher lo sikach lo sikach shoka.
Right. Asher
lo yisaf panev lo yikach shoka. How can Hashem take a bribe? So it's the next pasuk. Ohev. I was good to the ger, I was good to the yasam, I was good to the almana, so it's okay that I don't keep Shabbos. It's okay that because I'm a good person. That's how Hashem takes a bribe. I'm trying to bribe Hashem.
Interesting. So Jeff suggested that the pasuk in Devarim that kind of alludes to this message, that a person will say, I took care of the ger and the yasam and the almana, and that will be them kind of try to bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm a good person, you know, let me off the hook for everything else that I might have not done correctly. Very interesting. Okay, so source number 5 is actually in Ibn Ezra, and it's this actually is talking more about why we have to do mitzvahs, not why do we have mitzvahs. But the Ibn Ezra kind of says that the chiyuv, I just thought it was interesting, and it's really a separate topic, but he says that the chiyuv to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because He took us out of Mitzrayim. And that's why in the first of the Aseret HaDibros, we say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisichem Eretz Mitzrayim, not Anochi Hashem Elokecha, who created the world. But it's because Hashem created us in Mitzrayim, now we're in debt to Him, and we then have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why we have to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. Just an interesting, fundamental Ibn Ezra concept of why we need to keep Torah and Mitzvahs all together. But if you look at source number 6, this is where the Rishonim, I found at least, and I'm sure it's in other places too, kind of discuss this concept of why we do Mitzvahs. And again, maybe a different shir, Mitzvah Shem, I'll be able to have time to prepare, and we'll have a week where we don't have a Mitzvah or something, and we'll be able to put it together. A mitzvah, what's a mitzvah as opposed to halacha, and what happens when you do a mitzvah as opposed to halacha, is there a difference? Like Aaron, I think it was triggered really by our conversation. What's schar when you do a mitzvah? What about following the system of mitzvahs, but it's not really accomplishing anything, it's just doing what you have to do as a legality, like gerushin or shechita or other kinds of concepts that are very different than doing a positive commandment, which, you know, achieves something upstairs. You know, it's pretty esoteric. And on that note, actually, one of the other answers as to why we have a system to answer this question, it's not inside, is actually in the Drashas HaRan. So the Ran suggests that these mitzvahs that Hashem are divine. So they're accomplishing something in tikkunim in shemayim that we don't understand. I don't know what they're doing. We believe that there's an olam of ruchnias out there that we don't know about and tap into, but every time we follow halacha, we keep a mitzvah, we do what HaKadosh Baruch wants, kind of like, you know, we're misaking this world, but we're also tikkunim in the next world. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you gotta do it, and it does that. And whether we understand it or not is separate, but we can't choose what to do. There's a system in place as how that's going to happen. That's above our understanding. That is an idea brought down by the Ran as well as to why we have to have a system of how to serve Hashem in this world. If you look in source number 6, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph, Damar Rav Chanina Gadol Metzuva Ve'Osa Mimisheinu Metzuva Ve'Osa, that a person who's commanded to do a mitzvah, if he does, he's greater if he does it than one who is not commanded and does it. So what's the typical pshat? I remember hearing this, I think maybe some people heard it as a kid. I didn't hear it Talmud Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So I heard it for the first time this Gemara when I was in Reshit. And I was like, oh, of course that doesn't make sense. Right? I fell for the trap like everybody else. If I volunteer to go ahead and take out the garbage before my wife asks me, well, I'm a great husband. I'm an amazing husband. I took out the garbage and my wife didn't even have to remind me. My wife tells me, of course, no, I have to do it. I mean, my wife told me to do it. Okay, I'm a decent husband, but I did it because she told me to. So how do we understand this Gemara? What are the classic answers? Any thoughts?
Yetzirah.
See Yetzirah. Okay, get to that. Anything else?
Pas Pasala.
I think the Pas Pasala answer really is an answer to this question as well.
There's a Kabbalistic answer, but that's not for the discussion. I just saw it last night.
But if you saw it last night, that's Hashkacha. Yeah, what's it say? That's Kabbalistic.
No,
we'll talk about it after this year. Okay, awesome. All right, so we had some suggestions. Yetzahara, Pas Pasalo. Now, let's explain what those mean and who says them. So if we look in source number 7, Tosfos says what Michael said, or Michael says what Tosfos said, that it's Pas Pasalo. What does that mean? Godol ha-metzuva v'ose. Near the high new time, the mishim metzuva v'ose, odif lefisha doig umitztari yoser, pen yavor. A person who has an obligation to do something is more worried about it. He's more nervous. He's not gonna do it. If I actually this happened to me where I remember I was a rabbinic intern in a shul and they were paying me and I didn't like it. I'm like, it wasn't worth that much money. I didn't do it for the money, but I felt like, oh, now I know I have to come back in like 2 weeks to like give drushas and shirim, but like it's not gonna work for my schedule that week. I know it. And now I'm like, oh, I have to work everything out because I have a chiyuv to them. So when you have a chiyuv to somebody because you're getting paid, or there's a obligation in place for something, it's a lot more stressful than if I volunteer to do something. And if I do it, I do it, great. And if I don't, I don't. And there's no pressure and there's no stress and there's no anxiety involved. So the fact that you're doig mitzdar yoiser pen yavor, you're not going to do it, that's why godol mitzuva osa misheino mitzuva veosa misheino mitzuva sheyesh lo pas b'sel shem yirtzei aniach. Great. He wants to do it, he can. He doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be concerned about. So perhaps that's how we could suggest as well. Why do we have to have a system of commandments? It's to really create a certain, I'll call it pressure, an obligation upon people to ensure that we do it. If Hashem just said, here's 613 mitzvos, or figure out what you want to do for yourself, okay, I wake up one morning, I don't want to do it. Or wake up one morning, I want to do something else. Do whatever I want. And there's no, when I want to do it, I'll do it. I'm a free bird. I can do whatever I want. I'm free-spirited. But that's not what the Torah wants. Godol ha-metzuve ve'ose misha'ena metzuve ve'ose. The Ritva in source number 8 mentions this idea of the Satan that Perish Rabbeinu Zal Tama Davar Shezeh Satan Mekatrigo Shu Metzuve Ve'ze'en Satan Mekatrig Vilfum Tzar Agra. He also mentions Fum Tzar Agra, the concept as well. He throws it in there that if I'm commanded to do something, I have Yetzahar telling me, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. If I just choose to do something that's coming from my Yetzer Tov, my desire to do good, so the Yetzirah is not, it might exist, but it's not as strong because there was no tzivoy.
They say, why is this stress level matter? Like, why is the fact that the Rishonim has that? Like, sure, I understand what Tosfos is saying, but it's just as strong an answer to say what you were saying, the example of taking out the garbage. That's just as good an argument as possible.
Meaning it's the opposite argument. It's just as good. These two arguments are almost opposites of each other.
They should equal each other.
They're right. Pas Pasalo and the Tosfos are...
The answer that, no, it's the Yetzirah that puts this over the top. The
uh-huh.
That breaks the tie a little.
Got it. The Yetzirah wins, it beats out and explains it.
Because like I said, the garbage example is legitimate. It's a legitimate time.
Right.
Lactosis is legitimate.
Right, right, right. Very interesting. Okay, so that's the Ritva. And then he quotes the Ramban. Rabbeinu Agado Pirish HaMitzvos Einan Lahanos HaKel Yisparach HaMitzvah HaMitzaveh Ela Lizechuzenu. That mitzvos aren't to go ahead and to bring benefit to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather for our merit. So, if the the mitzvah is for me to get merits. So if I'm told to do something and I do it, and I'm commanded to do something and I follow through, that's greater than not being commanded to do something and doing it anyway, just because you have the tzivoy and you're fulfilling the commandment of the king. And so that's why gadol ha-mitzvah mishenu mitzvah, and we could say also that that's why we have a system of commandments in halacha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us, something we said earlier, zechuyos. And so by having mitzvos, as opposed to not having a system of mitzvos, or having halachos, as opposed to not having a system of halachos, it goes ahead and allows us to, in even greater way, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the mitzvah of everything, by fulfilling that which he wants us to do. So that is the answer of the Ritva. And this actually comes up, I kind of came across it by just clicking around in Bar Ilan, a little by accident, but the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch in source number 9 and 10 kind of bring this up as a Lamaisa aspect. It says the Rambam in Hilchos Tamat Torah and Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, the following, Isha Shalomda Torah Yishla Schar, Aval Eino Kischar HaIsh. A woman who learns Torah, she gets reward, but not like the reward of a man. Mipnei Shalom Itzdavis, because she's not commanded in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'chol ha'osid dover sheinu mitzuvah alav, la'asosa ein schar k'schar mitzvah sha'asel apachos mimena. So it comes up in a lamaisa aspect of in Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it as well, in source number 10 in Hilchos Yerodea, that a woman who learns Torah, she gets reward for doing it because she's doing a mitzvah. It's like any, it's like a mitzvah sase shez on grama that women are part of from, that they choose to do. But here, the Ramah obviously talks says that the Archaiv in going ahead and learning the areas that they're that they are oisik, that they need to know. But the concept, the application of Gadol Mitzvah Mishenu Mitzvah comes up in this context as a Lamaisa application. So anyhow, Aras, we'll close with Hashkafa. But any thoughts on the topic? I thought, you know, started out pretty. With different ideas, but now it's a pretty meaty topic, and I'm sure there's a lot out there that I didn't see, talk about, or touch. But any questions?
It still does feel like there's probably two topics here. Maybe I see how they blend, but mitzvahs in general, and then Rostalvachik's idea about why you need the details to be objective and not subjective.
Mm-hmm.
I see how they start to blend. Like that.
Right. Well, if you say the topic is mitzvos in general, that includes the details as well. But it's a separate question to ask. Why do we need so many details? Why do we need Chazal to come along and create so many Dinei Derabanan with extra aspects?
I feel like we're still addressing, why can't it just be, I can do the lulav however I want to do it. That was what Korach wanted to do, tzitzis his way.
Right.
Korach wanted to do mezuzah his way.
Right. Meaning it's really about the details.
Come on, the Torah has an objective way, and you don't get to experience lulav in your emotional way that you experience lulav.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Rosalvachik's answer gets you to why do we have a mitzvah of lulav b'chlal. What does the mitzvah of lulav, what do I need lulav, what do I need tzitzis, what do I need mezuzah for altogether? Does Rosalvachik help us answer that?
I mean, that, like you said, there's a whole world of ruchnias out there that we don't understand. And it's very, I mean, you have the easy answer. The easy answer is that there's a whole world of ruchnias that when you shake the lulav, something is happening that's beyond our understanding. It's beyond what's written in Torah Shavisav. But there is an impact of that. And it needs to be done in a certain way to achieve whatever impact it's having. Mm-hmm. As opposed to being achieved in the way you want to do it via your emotional experience. But there's
something happening. Right, that's where they kind of get intertwined, I guess. Where like, if you look at it more of a big picture concept than as opposed to the details. But you're right. I think Rav Soloveitchik is assuming there is a mitzvah. Now, can we play with the mitzvah a little bit? Can we change it in this way and that way? And I want to do it in my way. But he didn't deny the fact that the mitzvah of tzitzis exists, that there's a concept of tchelis, that there's a concept of zizah. It was, let me do it in how I want to do it. Now, you could argue that that was there, though, just as a framework, meaning he had to start with something. It's not that he just, those were the, those, he, first of all, you could argue two things. He went to Moshe with those examples because maybe he felt, right, if I come out of left field and say, yeah, if I go off on top of a mountain and start meditating like Buddha, and, you know, whatever, and to Buddha, Moshe's not even gonna, like, entertain it, so let me start with something there. Or that was his argument, right? That was his argument, is like,
argument is that Moshe, because he felt that Moshe was making a ridiculous claim,
mm-hmm.
therefore he felt that Moshe was making this stuff up. That was the argument of Korah. the fact that you're tiny is so ridiculous. Clearly, Moshe is not the Navi that he says he is. That was his.
But was he undermining the way in which you do Talis and Tchilis, or was he undermining,
no, undermining
the entire Moshe. Mitzvah altogether?
He was undermining Moshe, is what he was saying. He's saying that what you're saying is so patently ridiculous.
Right.
Clearly, you are not transmitting the law of God. Correctly.
But the point that the Soloveitchik is picking up on is Korach's approach to mitzvahs, which was more subjective. That the whole thing is cool tzilas, that for me, I experienced this the proper way. The thing is that, you're right, it doesn't happen. Korach might have had a long-term agenda. But
right, he's mocking Moshe. He's mocking Moshe.
Right, I'm just saying the Rav's drasha on that is on specifically that methodology that Korach
used.
But the Rav's answers can be applied, I think, to the overall question as well.
He's mocking Moshe.
Right.
What you're saying is ridiculous. Clearly, you're not a shit.
Right. Let's conclude with 1 minute of Divrei Hashkafa from the Parsha Machshava, because we only have 1 minute left. And that is, if you look in source number 11, the Torah and Parsha Vayigash this week tells us, Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Dalet, Anochi Reidim Chametz Raima, Anochi Alcha Gamalov, Yosef Yashis, Yadol Inecha. Hashem said that he's going to go down with Yaakov and with Bnei Yisrael to Mitzrayim, and he's also going to come up with them. And I'll be with you the whole time, basically. Don't be scared, he says in the pasuk beforehand. This expression is really about the descent to Mitzrayim. Yaakov and all the Shvatim. So the Kli Yakar and the Baal Shem Tov have two beautiful ideas. We'll just say it outside. This source number 12, the Kli Yakar picks up on the fact that the Torah says, Anochi Erid Imcha Mitzrayimah, Va'anochi A'alcha Gamalo. When it says Erid, it says, I will go down first. Anochi Erid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And when it comes up, Anochi A'alcha, and then Gamalo. You will come up, and then I will come up afterwards. And the Kli Yakar says, the beautiful Lashon, to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to go first to Mitzrayim, because I'm going to be there before you get there. And then you'll come after. And when we leave, I'm going to wait for you to leave first, because I don't want you to be there without me. And then I'm going to come after you. And it's Meduyak in the Lashon, is a beautiful Kli Yakar. And source number 13, Baal Shem Tov says also, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yaakov Avinu, and Klai Yisrael, for all future generations really, that the Shekhinah, that Hashem, it's like when you're in a pit, when you fall in the pit, you're sent into the pit, and you have the ladder, so you have a way to get out. The Shekhinah is going to be with us when you go to Mitzrayim. The Shekhinah is going to be with us in Golis, throughout Golis. And the Baal Shem Tov explains, if the Shekhinah is going to be with us and comes with us down into Golis, we also know that we have our exit strategy. We have our way to be able to get out of Golis as well. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us here, really, of myself, Asim, and the bottom, that for all generations, in personal Golises that people are in the Golis that we're currently in, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shekhinah Shara with us, and the Shekhinah is with us, and just like He came with us into the Golis, and He's present with us at this time, He also will redeem us and bring us out of the Golis, which should happen. B'mehera v'yameinu, everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos, and Shkoyach, everyone, for coming.
Shkoyach, thanks very much.